Brother Sam has asked me to share the time with him, and I'm going to just make a thought or two, one or two particular thoughts, if you will, with me. I have not thought about these for some time, but I think I would like to return to them for just a minute or two this evening. It won't be very long. I sure do need your prayers, though, for the time that we are before you. And the reason for that is because a couple of Sundays ago, I told the folks over at Fellowship that I had had to send my hearing aids back to have the rechargeable batteries replaced, and that the loaner that they had given me was not nearly as good as the one that I had. And so I told them, if I give you a blank stare or if I look dumb after you've said something, just consider that it may very well be that I didn't hear you. One of the deacons came up to me afterwards, and he said, "Brother Hall, how are we going to know when you look dumb when you look that way most of the time?" You never know what some folks might have to say about situations in life.
I want to fire him.
I think I'm going to change. I just don't feel like the Lord's in going in that direction. That would have been a much shorter thing, but I just don't feel like the Lord was going to bless in that way. Anyway, I'd like to speak to you for just a few minutes, and I promise you I'll make this as brief as I possibly can. I'd like to speak to you on the subject of justification. I think the easiest way to understand this subject, or at least it was for me, was to understand the definition of the word justification. We read in Matthew chapter 11 these words, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." The word justification means in the Bible to be declared to be right. That definition will fit well to be right or to be righteous or to be innocent. It's a declaration is the point I'm trying to make, rather than bringing something to pass. He says, "By your words, thou shalt be justified." I could stand before you here tonight and tell you that I can lift 300 pounds and put it over my head. Now, I can say that, but I can't prove that. I cannot do that, to be honest with you. And if I said it, I would not be able to justify my words. I would not be able to declare those words to be right. We find also in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew that this expression is found. "But wisdom is justified of her children." Put that definition in there and it'll make sense. This is a verse that gave me an awful lot of trouble when I first began to read the Bible, that wisdom is justified of her children. What this verse is doing is personifying wisdom. Wisdom is portrayed as a person that is declared to be right by her children. This is what this definition will fit just about every time that you find it in the Word of God. I want to go now to Romans chapter 5, and I would like to notice three places in the Scriptures where that justification is used. These three places describe to us the three phases of justification. These three phases I'm going to liken unto the verdict in three different courtrooms. Now, I know that example is not original with me. There's been a lot of people that have used that in the past, but I don't think there's one that's any easier to explain the subject than to use those three courtrooms of justification. Amen. The first one that we find is in Romans chapter 5. In verse 9, he says, "Much more than be..." Well, let's look at verse 8 for just a second. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Psalms chapter 14 tells us that at one time God looked down. Well, it doesn't say time, but God did look down and to see if there was any good, that if there was any righteous, and the Bible tells us that he didn't see any. All of us are in, by nature, in a state of condemnation before God. God commanded his love, though, to us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Much more now being justified, how? By his blood. This is that first courtroom that I want to describe to you. It is the courtroom of God's eternal justice. If God had left us where he saw us in a state of sin, every last one of us would wind up in eternal hell. But God sent his son. The Bible tells us here that he commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us, and it was his death, it was the shedding of his blood that has saved us from wrath through him, and that we are now justified by his blood. We are declared to be innocent before God, to be right before God, to be righteous before Almighty God on the basis of his shed blood. Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was made to be a propitiation for our sins. That means he was made the innocent victim of our sin. Jesus did not deserve to have to die on the cross because he was perfect, he was holy, and he was righteous. But God laid upon him the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Excuse me, he laid upon Christ the sin that all of us possess by nature. And then God put that righteousness of Jesus Christ on our eternal account. And God declared us to be righteous, just like the verdict. The verdict, in fact, will come back one day at the final judgment, but we're going to be declared to be justified, declared to be righteous because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the tree of the cross. Now, I'm going to spend the next five to 10 minutes and I'm going to quickly bring this to a close. The reason I want to notice this is because of the second part of this, which is justification by faith. Because there's so many people that believe that when you find it in the Bible, anything about being justified by faith, that that is the time in which an individual is born again and brought into the family of God. This courtroom, however, deals with the courtroom of our own mind, our own heart, and our own thinking. And this is not the time that we're born again when it talks about us being justified by faith. The fourth chapter of the book of Romans describes this in great detail. And I'm going to run it at random through this chapter for just a moment. I want to show you what I think that he is talking about and how that he justifies us in our own mind, in our own thinking, before Almighty God and what it takes to be justified by faith. First of all, this is not the cause, again, of a sinner being born again, but it is us being able to experience the joy of being saved and of being born again. There's a lot of people in this world who's been born again, and they're going to be in heaven when this world is over, but they've never been justified by faith in their heart, in their minds. They've never seen what Christ really did for them. First example is Abraham, our father. It means the father of the Jews. And of course us spiritually, but nevertheless, Abraham is the first one that's used as an example. There was a time in the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis where Abraham had been given a promise by God when he was 75 years old that he'd have a son. In fact, that he would have a people, a descendants, a seed that would be as innumerable as the sands of the sea and the stars of the heaven. In fact, in Genesis 15, when Abraham comes to God and asks him, how can I know these things? How can he, I mean, he's 75 years old and God doesn't give him a son until he's 100 years old. You know how improbable that is, and how you might, Abraham might have questioned this, especially as more and more time had gone on. And so he asked him, how can this be? And God told him, said, let's go out. Let's look up into the heavens. And you told him to look at the stars. And he promises him that his seed will be as innumerable as the stars of heaven. Now, the Bible tells him it was imputed, he believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And that word imputed there means put to his account. In his own mind, this had nothing to do with his eternal salvation. It had nothing to do with his new birth. In fact, if this was the time that Abraham was born of the Spirit of God, we got a problem, because the book of anybody that take that position would have a problem, because the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews tells us that by faith that Abraham looked to God, and he was willing, when God told him to come up out of Mesopotamia and to go into the promised land, he moved by faith. How could he do that if he'd never been born of the Spirit of God? If he had the Spirit of God, however, if he was born again there, then he could exercise that faith, which is a fruit of the Spirit, and follow God in obedience. And that's what he did. And so he was born again at least probably somewhere between 11 and 13 years before Genesis chapter 15 takes place. But he believed God. He believed that he was able to make him a seed, to give him a son, even in his old age, even when according to nature he was good as dead, reproductively speaking. But God was able to do it. And he uses one more example here. He uses David as an example, and he quotes him from the 32nd Psalms. He says, David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. David had an experience, and David of grace, and David was able to tell us what it meant here to be, for our sins to be covered. Most of the time we talk about covering something, we think of covering it up. For instance, if I've run across a lot of songbooks where a child got a hold of them and scribbled in there a certain page. Now, you could cover that scribbling up with something else, or you could sweep and not have a dustpan and put it under the rug, but sooner or later it's going to be found. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about when he says it's covered, it simply means that it's been paid for. One time, Barbara and I were at a restaurant, and we were eating, and we saw someone that we knew quite well over on the other side, and I made a note to myself to be able to be sure and go over and speak to them before they left. Well, we went ahead and ate our meal, and I got up to go over there, and they were gone, so I didn't get to speak to them. But when we called the waitress and asked her for our bill, she says, your bill has already been covered. I said, what do you mean? I know I hadn't paid for it. He says, there was a couple of sitting over there on the other side that covered your bill. Now, what did she mean? She mean that they paid for my bill. David is talking about an experience where he began to realizing and know that God was able to cover, to pay for his sins, and God imputed unto him righteousness. That is righteousness in his mind and his thinking. Look at verse 16 with me. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise of might be sure to all the seed. Now, this was a statement that was true about Abraham and the seed that would follow after him, but this is true also about us when we are justified by faith. The promise might be sure unto us. I think that's what he's talking about here. He comes on down and he talks about, now let me say this, there's some requirements for us to be justified by faith, and three, I think I'll just mention right quickly. First of all, in verse 24 he says, but unto us, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus from the dead. First of all, we got to believe in Jesus, and we got to believe that he's got power to raise the dead. In verse 20, He's telling us that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. First is belief. Second, he says you got to be strong in the faith. And thirdly, we got to give glory unto God. Those three things, your justification by faith, what you believe about your eternal salvation, for you to have this clear conscience, for you to have the joy of your eternal salvation, what you believe has got to parallel what actually happened when Christ died on the tree of the cross. If you're going to say in your mind, it's my decision, it's me, it's what I've done, I've met some requirements, you will never be justified by faith. You'll never have that securities that you have in knowing that salvation was taken care of by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to believe, but you've got to believe the right thing, and that is that justification is by faith. And it's by, your eternal justification is by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Then he goes on to say, and being fully persuaded that what he has promised, he is able to perform. And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. When we believe what the gospel teaches, what the Bible teaches, that salvation is totally by the grace of Almighty God, we can experience the joy of our salvation because we are justified, declared in our own mind to be, for it to be right, for it to be true in our experience. And oh, that all of God's people could experience the joy of knowing the truth that your salvation is secure in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, there is one more, and I'll just quote it to you and make one statement about it. In James chapter 2 and verse 24, you see how then by works a man is justified and not by faith only. He says we can be justified by works. Somebody says, well, which one is it? Is it by the blood or is it by our faith or is it by works? Yes, all three. It's by all three. The courtroom of the last judgment is the courtroom of public observation. It is what people see in us as church members. If they see somebody that says, I believe my God is sovereign and that he will and can save the elect, and yet we're worried all the time about every little situation that comes up in life, you're not justifying yourself before the public as being altogether right. If you are a hypocrite, if you're saying one thing about that a man ought to live this way because of what Christ has done for him, and you don't live that way, you're not going to justify yourself in the courtroom of public opinion. We can do that by living by what we believe, practicing and working in the kingdom of God to justify ourselves in the mind of other individuals. May God add his blessings to these few thoughts.